Since the beginning of this sermon series, we have been reminded that we all deal with difficult people in many different facets of our lives. We have also been reminded that at different times, we can be the difficult ones. Because that reality can be painful, and can be painful when confronted by others, it is important to remember to offer ourselves grace. When we offer ourselves grace, we are free to offer it to others. When someone plays the martyr card, they tend to act like someone who deserves admiration or sympathy because of being treated badly. Martyr and guilt go hand in hand. When the martyr doesn't receive the recognition that they feel they deserve, they often use guilt to get their point across. We know there are healthier ways of expressing the needs, and it can be done by expressing things honestly and openly, which would provide a pathway for discussion, which would be more fulfilling. Let's hear the story. One day, while Jesus was traveling, he came to the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha welcomed Jesus as a guest, while Mary sat down near Jesus and listened to all he had to say. Martha, on the other hand, was very busy. While Mary sat and listened to Jesus, Martha was busy preparing a meal. While Mary sat and listened to Jesus, Martha was also busy sweeping the floors. While Mary sat and listened to Jesus, Martha was also busy blowing dust off the windowsills. While Mary sat and listened to Jesus, Martha was becoming more and more overwhelmed and more resentful. Martha had enough. She went over to where Jesus and Martha were and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me." Jesus replied to Martha, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken from her." Now, I can only assume that I don't think Martha, that is what she wanted to hear. In that moment, Jesus offered no validation to her feelings. We know that Martha welcomed Jesus in her own way by working hard to prepare a meal and creating a clean space. And we know that Mary had welcomed Jesus in her own way by listening attentively to what Jesus had to say. The tension that was created between Mary and Martha was not in how each of them decided to welcome Jesus, but by Martha not being accepting of a different way other than hers. Being able to offer hospitality and open your home is a talent and a gift. Throughout biblical times, the act of sharing a meal held particular significance. It was a gesture of intimacy that created a bond of friendship and community, something that is a bit lost nowadays, but is not out of reach. In this story, Jesus had been traveling and ministering for quite some time and was probably exhausted. It was Martha's first instinct, but more importantly, a reflection of her personality to invite Jesus in and make him feel comfortable by providing a meal. As the visit continued, Martha began to feel overlooked and overwhelmed in all the tasks that needed to be done to prepare the type of meal that she had imagined. She felt this way because Mary had just been sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to all the stories that he had been sharing. Martha felt that her sister had sidestepped her duties, so she decided to ask Jesus to scold her. This is an example of how being a martyr and guilt can play off of each other. Now, instead, Jesus rebuked Martha and commended Mary, which probably made Martha mad. However, Martha's mistake was not in being detail-oriented with her desire to cook a nice meal for Jesus, but instead, she overlooked the significance of just being in relationship. An important side note, and to account the full context of Jesus' teachings, we know that he taught the traits of hospitality to be admired. We know this because of stories of the sheep and the goats, the rich man and Lazarus, and the Good Samaritan. Martha's gift of hospitality is not meant to be seen as less than. Martha's devotion to hospitality was an act of worship, a human expression of God. Then what's the big deal, you may be asking yourself? It was not Martha's work that Jesus gently rebuffed. In Luke chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Martha had created a scene in her mind where she was being treated unfairly. Instead of being proud of her work and the way that she embraced the image of God, she focused on Mary's actions and judged her for them. The type of gathering that Martha had envisioned was not coming to fruition because of all those complicated feelings she was experiencing. It seems as if the feelings that Martha was caught up in had caused her to miss out on the profound experience of having Jesus in her home, something that Mary had recognized. Martha expressed hospitality through service, and Mary expressed hospitality through presence. Both are profound and both are significant. Martha was having a hard time because not only was she feeling neglected, she felt that Mary was getting more out of the visit. Mary was able to experience the joy of being in Jesus' presence because she didn't have the feelings of judgment toward Martha. Mary was able to be fully present. Jesus accepted both sisters for their gifts and encouraged Martha to do the same. He said that Mary had chosen the better part, a Greek phrase which means that which is pleasant, joyful, or happy. Martha showed the love that she had for Jesus in her own way, though she would have been able to experience more if she could have given Mary that same type of freedom without judgment. By doing so, they could have a healthy and peaceful relationship with both Jesus and one another. Now, this story is interesting because it involves relationships between sisters. Siblings carry a different kind of energy than friends or coworkers would. And I mention this to provide a context and a new layer to the story that doesn't get mentioned a lot. It is important to take into account that there are layers and layers and years of family dynamics that are being played out in the story. Dealing with difficult people always presents a challenge, but when it's family, it's more complex. Whether it is with friends or families, what are some ways that we can live into our gifts we have to offer and not be ashamed of them? How can we stop projecting onto others what we think should be happening? Now, there are many tips and tricks you can find online or in self-help books that discuss different approaches and how to deal with difficult people. Now, however, one of my therapists many, many years ago instructed me to stop using the word should. Should, he said, is a bad word. It does no good, and it makes people feel bad. So let's think about it. I should have stopped cooking the meal and sat down next to Mary, and I should have recognized this sooner. Whereas, I could have stopped cooking the meal, but this was my way to show appreciation for Jesus. I hope I can learn to balance things better next time. Martyrs tend to struggle with prioritizing their needs. They don't practice self-care. They end up exhausted, physically sick, depressed, anxious, resentful, and unfulfilled. There are many ways that this can be played out. When we come across someone with martyr tendencies, they often have a hard time communicating clearly or directly. And we saw this with Martha. She couldn't prioritize her needs. She ended up exhausted and became resentful toward Mary and Jesus and missed out on the experience of having him in their home. Now, I also want to address some conflicting feelings I had while reading this story, because to me, on the surface, I felt that it kind of painted Martha in more of a negative light, which at times she played into. But the story doesn't address the importance of having both sisters' needs being met. I know there is a way to prioritize and recognize the different gifts that people have while still honoring the ones you contribute. So over time and through a variety of failed friendships and relationships, I have come to realize and am still learning that the only person I can change is myself. The only person I have control over is myself. I have appreciated reading the same sending prayer each week during this series, a reminder that it is you and only you who carries the ability and power to create a life of healthy and strong relationships. Now, for those of you who Facebook, you probably know this feature. Each day you can click on a tab that has your memories. It'll bring up what you posted on that day last year. It'll even show you what you posted on this day 11 years ago. And it'll even tell you when you have a Facebook friendiversary, the day you became Facebook friends with someone. I enjoy using this feature because it brings displays moments in my life that I felt I needed to share with the world. There are some posts that I look back on and roll my eyes, while offering myself grace, and I think to myself how grateful I am for the wisdom one learns through the art of aging. However, over the course of the past 2 years, I have developed a more of a love-hate relationship with social media platforms. The more time I devote to working on my relationship with social media, because it is a form of a relationship, I have posted less. And when I do make a post, I make sure it comes from a place of consciousness. I ask myself, am I trying to prove something to myself or someone? Am I posting this to show off my life in a way that is not completely accurate? And I mean that. Young kids and adults can get caught up in the filter of social media. How can this person be so put together all the time? How is their relationship so perfect? And how can they be in love that much all the time? And all these questions that would pop into my head didn't make me feel very good about my life and the true joys that I knew I had. So when communicating, whether in a post or in person, communicate with consciousness. Now, when you look at huge companies, they have dedicated departments that sort through all their social media messages. The power of the social media platform is huge. Twitter. Talk about passive aggressive. If you ever have the desire, choose a big company that has a customer service division. An airline is a perfect example. And go to their Twitter feed. You will find a news type of feed of people complaining and venting. Now, what makes this passive aggressive is that they don't have to be held accountable in real life. So let's pretend that a passenger had a hiccup with an employee while checking their bag in the lobby. Then the security line is super long, which stirs up more anxiety and frustration in this person. And finally, once they get to the gate, they board the plane and there's no room for their bag. So they sit down and they take to Twitter. The hiding behind the screen lacks responsibility. Imagine if these people were able to work through the hiccup together, take responsibility for each part, and move to work towards a solution. Now, I bring this up because what we choose to say and how we say it and where we say it will help us in creating boundaries around how we deal with difficult people. And whether it was what Martha said to Mary or what Martha didn't say to Mary, if you find yourself in a situation where you are asked to do something, I encourage you to take a breath and ask yourself these two questions. Am I able to do what they are asking? And will I feel resentful? If you answered yes to the latter, pay attention. Learning to live into your own power, your own gifts, your own strengths as a person will open up a channel that will liberate you. It will liberate you in a way that will allow you to see more of the beauty around. It will liberate you in a way that allows you to live more into your truth. Knowing your truth, accepting your truth, and honoring your truth will help to free you from the feelings of resentment and guilt. Learning to deal with difficult people is made easier when we know our truth, embrace our strengths, acknowledge our weaknesses, and learn to be content with that mixture. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.